Before we open God's word, let's bow before him in prayer. Merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee this afternoon hour, thankful for the opportunity to come before thee, before thy throne, with our petitions, with our thanksgiving for everything thou hast done for us. We pray that thou would be with thy Holy Spirit, present with us as thou hast promised, for we are gathering here in thy name, hungry for thy word, Lord, and looking forward to this word that we know, Lord, that thou wouldst want to hear us, that thou would want us to hear it. We pray that thou would bless it, thou would, with thy Holy Spirit's guidance, touch our hearts, that we would understand what is thy message for us today. Pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help for this afternoon meditation, I would like to read from St. Luke chapter 12, Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 12, first 34 verses. Luke 12, beginning with verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, Beware, ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall be not revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what think ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse for barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax cold not, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May the Lord bless these few verses. Let us all bow before the Lord in prayer. Dear ones, I appreciate this morning's message and also things that we have heard. Those are those of us who were blessed to go to camp and hear a lot about the Lord wanting to make things new with us. And brother in the morning referred to a potter who has control over the piece of clay that he manipulates to build a beautiful dish. And without having to explain too much about it, we know that Potter, the Master, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are only clay that needs to be able to submit to the hands of the potter who will create something beautiful out of nothing. And brother at camp alluded that so many times we do want to be having a work, that we want to be potter, actually, instead of letting ourselves being molded by the master potter. Do we see ourselves wanting to have our input into how we're created, or what we should look like as a dish? Well, I think Jesus Christ in this chapter is talking to us just as well as he talked to the Jewish nation at that time. A lot of people, as we could read, that were tumbling over each other. There are so many of them. And he had words to say about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy that was almost about Pharisees that was almost known when he says work hypocrites. He was referring to Pharisees, the religious leaders, those that many people looked up to, those that were schooled, that were educated in a law, and were found maybe not so much in people's eyes, but definitely in eyes of Jesus Christ, who could see the hearts, who can see hearts each and every one of us, that they were not honest. Brother Louis, so many times in the messages, alludes what hypocrisy means. It means acting, to be presenting something that is actually not. So maybe people were not seeing so much, or maybe they were, they didn't want to see, but Jesus Christ, he did see into their hearts, and he saw a lot of corruption, a lot of acting, a lot of false presenting, that they were looked at as so religious that they were so proud of it, and they were actually different people. They were actually not doing what they were preaching. So I believe when he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven, that is, and most throughout the most of the New Testament, presented or specified as something evil, something that can grow from small. As we know, when we put leaven in a dough, that it will rise, it will cause the whole loaf to ferment and grow and fluff. In another place, it says that our faith is like leaven. So in a good sense, that little bit of our faith as leaven can do a lot of good things. So he's warning us over here that we should be cautious, that we should be beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That little of hypocrisy can damage a lot of goods. For there is nothing covered that shall be not revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoke in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. We have to understand that wherever we are, no matter how much we think we are alone, doing something or talking about somebody or just doing wrong things, we have to realize that nothing is going to be hidden. Do we have that faith in our everyday life? The Spirit is around us. He sees everything. He hears everything. He sees our thoughts, our intentions. This is what he's telling us to be careful of. Because there's going to be nothing. We can present ourselves however we want to. Especially those that don't see us every day. We can look very, very good. I'm sure Pharisees looked very good to and religious to those around them. But we see Jesus Christ knows the heart. And just like he knew their hearts, he knows our hearts. So just to just to be encouraged that we know that He's with us. He's around us. He sees every of our moves. That He, as we need Him when we're in trouble, we want Him there, right? Sometimes we kind of hope that He, maybe He wouldn't be there, but we know He's there with us all the time. And I said unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Knowing that he's always with us. Knowing that he's around us. Knowing that he's our protection. But he will also be our judge. We should not fear anything that is happening around us if we have faith in him, if we have our commitment to him, if we do live our lives according to his perfect will, if we have nothing to hide. We should be most joyous people because we know our Creator is with us, right? He's also there, as I mentioned, when we are not doing things that we should, not act the way we should, when there's things we want to hide in front of Him. Him we should fear, Him who sees everything. And can not only end our lives, but can also throw us into the hell's pit of fire. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're all more valued than many sparrows. God sees value in us much more than we might want to even believe. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to commit and accept Him and let Him make us a new thing. Here is exhorting us in verse 8 to be fearless. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall also shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. See, very interesting thing. We believe and we know that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is God's Son and is part of Holy Trinity. But I believe because he was on this earth as a man, it was maybe so much, how should I put this, so much easier that thing would happen that someone would offend him. But we are warned to be very careful not to offend or blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. It's a sin that will never be forgiven if we ever do that. There is many things in our lives. There are many, many, many cases of offenses that we go through and we try to deal with them on a daily basis almost. But we have to understand, dear ones, that Jesus Christ is commanding us to forgive. Jesus Christ is commanding us that we should love each other as much as he loved us and as much as he forgiven us. When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. So many times we run into situation that we start thinking, what if someone asks me, or what it comes to this situation, and we're called to testify? How should we be prepared to do that? He's telling us here that Holy Spirit is going to prepare us. As a matter of fact, Holy Spirit is going to tell us exactly what to say, not to worry, not to try to do it on our own, not to try to, with our wisdom, try to figure it out. We're not going to be able to, but if we trust that he's with us and the Holy Spirit is going to tell us, just like Jesus Christ told us here, we should have no doubt. We should have no doubt and not worry about what's going to happen or how is it going to play out. He's giving us, in the next portion of the scripture, he's giving us example how we should trust him in everything and how we should not worry about our physical lives, what's going to be happening around us. There was a man who asked Jesus to speak to his brother that he would divide the inheritance with him. Jesus Christ's answer was, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in abundance of the things which he possesseth. Sorry. So things that we have on this earth, things that we got as a blessings or gift from Jesus Christ, whether it was a health, whether it was a possessions, whether it was a gifts, whether physical or spiritual gifts, everything is given by God to each and every one of us. We should be careful. We should be very careful of covetousness. And he's giving a parable about the man who. It says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all. He was blessed beyond maybe what he was hoping for by God again, with the goods that came out of his field. And he had so much that he could not fit everything in his current barns. So his solution was to pull down the barns, build new ones, bigger ones, store it, and enjoy his life for the rest of his life. Not knowing that he doesn't have much control over his life. So many times we do work hard. We prepare. We provide. We maybe set up ourselves for a nice retirement. This is what it looked like the man was doing too, doesn't it? He had so much that he thought he was set for the rest of his life. Not worrying about not about anything else around him. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We are asked to build our spiritual kingdom. I appreciate the verses that were read this morning in 2 Corinthians verse 5. First two verses were read amongst everything else. It says like this, For we know that if our earthly house is of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So this is what we should be earning for. Because as it says, our earthly house of this tabernacle is going to be dissolved. It might be dissolved. Might not be, but it might be. We might lose everything that we have today or tomorrow. We have example of Job, who was so righteous. God was pleased to show to Satan and present him as, Did you see Job, my servant? And Satan, being Satan, he wanted to destroy everything. And he was allowed to touch of his wealth, of his family, everything that he had. Job lost enormous amount of wealth in a very short time, including his family. Everything that he had was taken from him. Everything that we have, dear ones, the Lord might decide that it's time for us to lose it. Are we going to be clinging to it? Are we going to be devastated? Are we going to lose faith in Him? Are we building our kingdom with Him, doing things that He's asking us to do? Or are we clinging too much to our earthly possessions or even our plans? Most of us will have some kind of plan how we want to proceed in our lives, what we want to do, how we gonna end up. Do we cling to that point that we might lose our minds, our faith, our everything, if we lose our earthly possessions? I think he's warning us here about that. And asking us to place everything in His hands. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Does this mean that we should just kick back and enjoy and not do anything, just trust in Him that He will take care of us? This is not what He's telling us. He's asking us to work, actually, so we can help others. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I have showed you all things. Luke is talking to elders in Ephesus. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's always going to be wealthier. There will always be poorer people. There will always be weaker or stronger people amongst us. And those who can, those who are blessed, that can provide, that can work. We're not only here to be piling this earthly goods to ourselves. He's asking us to to work for each other, to take care of each other, to be there for each other. And trust. Trust not to put too much of our time and too much of our energy into these earthly things, because God is going to take care of us. He says, consider the ravens, consider the lilies. They don't have to work, they don't have to worry. And we are definitely more valuable to him than lilies or ravens. That's what he's telling us. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful mind, It's almost impossible for a responsible human to not be thinking about those things. It is our nature. It is our nature to make sure we have enough, we have provided for tomorrow, for our family, for those around us. But we can't have that a higher priority than to trust that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to help us, no matter what happens. Even if you lose everything, that he's going to be with us. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He knows what we need. He knows better than us what we need. We know what we want. So many times we know what we want, and this is maybe not what he wants us to have. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is his pleasure to give us the kingdom. We just need to want to. We just need to want it. We need to want it more than we want earthly things. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags with which wax not cold, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our lives will show where our treasure is. Where we spend time, when we spend energy, when we spend money, will show what are we after. Are we building? Are we building the kingdom of God? Is our treasure with him, to be with him? Is that the main thing that we hope for and that we yearn for? There once, I believe Spirit spoke to me first this afternoon, and we really need to ask him, because maybe just like Pharisees, they couldn't see their hypocrisy. They couldn't see their own downfall, or that they didn't want to see. Maybe we're not honestly looking into our own lives, and maybe we do not want to see many things. But I think we have examples like this, parables like this, that we should really be looking into ourselves. And like David said in Psalm number 139, last few verses, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Did Pharisees ask the same thing of him? Are we asking of God to show us where we are wrong, and or where we are doing things different way or wrong way? He will show us if we really want to know. If you look into our lives, we might find excuses or reasoning for maybe everything that we do. But if we ask him, dear ones, to show us, to try us, to search us, he will do that for us. And he will let us know. May we, in his grace, are able to look into each and every one of our lives and realize if there is any wicked way that the Lord is trying to show us that we're in. May the Lord richly bless and add to the words that we have heard this afternoon, and to him be honor and glory. Amen.
I believe it's so incredibly easy for us in our lives to put our trust in the things of this world. It's what we are taught by the world. We are taught to put our trust in the riches of this world, which God tells us we are fools if we do so. The world knows that the money, the currency that we exchange is really worthless. It's just a piece of paper or an electronic number on a screen. It's worthless. It only has value because society agrees that it has value. And so the world would teach us to look for a safe haven besides currency, because there have been so many examples in history of those who trusted in money and then they had to take wheelbarrows of that currency to buy a loaf of bread. Money, currency in and of itself is worthless. And so this world would teach us to find a replacement. Store your wealth in something safer. They will look to real estate. They will look to gold. They will look to recently cryptocurrency. Something that has safety is what this world would tell us. But God tells us we're fools if we put our trust in that. We're fools because just as our currency can be worth nothing tomorrow, so can any of our investments, so can any of our properties. I have never lived this, but I know from stories of my grandparents' generation, when a communist government came into rule, they would take properties, excess properties, away from others who had too much. Who's to say that that could not happen to us? Any of our investments could be gone tomorrow. And then what are we left with? Are we left with fear? Are we left with depression? Are we left with suicidal thoughts because we don't have what we had maybe yesterday? God tells us again, we are fools if that's our trust. In this chapter, we've read of the man who pulled down his barns, tore down his barns to build bigger barns. He did not see the needs of others. He was only concerned about himself. He was only concerned about making a bigger storage place for his wealth, not just share that wealth with others. That thought never crossed his mind. The thought never crossed this man's mind to think, I have too much. What if I share with that of my excess with others? No, but he wanted to store it for himself. Let me build a bigger storage barn. And God's here saying again, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We have come into this world with nothing, and we will leave this world with nothing. We can be buried with our possessions. Doesn't matter. We're not taking it with us. And that's not news, of course, for each and every one of us. We all know this. So then the devil will tempt us to go the complete opposite direction and go completely away from that and say, okay, it's vain to even work. It's vain to provide a living for my family. What's the point? God's going to come soon. What's the point? But that's not what the Bible teaches us either. The Bible teaches us that if we do not work, then we are not even worthy of eating bread. We do not deserve the bread that we eat if we're not working for it. The Bible teaches us that if we do not provide for our loved ones, if we do not provide for our families, then we are worse than unbelievers. So again, we cannot go the complete opposite direction. But what God is teaching us here, it's not trust in uncertain riches. Put our trust instead in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. And here it says in this chapter that we have read that our hairs, the very number of our hairs in our head are numbered. How much comfort does that give us? The lilies of the field and all their beauty, they did not work for that. They are just displaying God's beauty, the beauty of God's creation, giving God the glory as they were created to do. How much, again, comfort that must give us. And since I woke up this morning, a verse has been on my mind, and it's in Psalm 139, which Brother Misha quoted a few verses from as well. Brother Misha quoted the last few verses in Psalm 139, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Well, in Psalm 139, a verse that's been on my mind this morning is verse 14, where it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in a way that by man's wisdom makes no sense. We are created from nothing. From nothing, life is given. It's a gift from God. God does not give life in an accident. God gives life where he sees it fit. He does not put us in a place in time by accident. He puts us all here today in this place for a reason. And he's asking us to search our hearts. Search our hearts and to see, are we truly living for God? Are we truly putting our trust in him? Or are we instead putting our trust in uncertain riches? Let's take the advice, the heeding, the warning that we have been given in this chapter and put our trust in God. That is the only place where we can find sustenance, only place where we can find true comfort when we need it, not in the cares of this world, not in the riches of this world. It'll all pass. Let's put our trust in God alone. May he bless his word in our hearts in this day. Amen.